Bom.
Thank you very much for that great speech. The mom is now going to take a quick 15-minute question and answer period. So anyone who has a question should just raise her hand, and he'll start answering your questions.
No. The forefathers I was talking about, they're gone. They've been dead centuries ago. 2 centuries ago, they're gone. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, sometimes a situation won't permit you to have any short, brief, clear-cut answer for it. And this is one. This is one. It's not not to look at what's happening without looking at what are the causes behind what's going on. I know some say Bush wants Iraqi oil. I think it would be much cheaper for the United States of America to buy Iraq's oil than to spend all these billions of fighting the Iraqi, fighting Saddam's forces. I can't buy that as the reason for what Bush is doing or for what our government is doing. And I can't answer you directly. I can just give you the responses that I have inside here. While I'm looking at war and regretting loss of innocent lives and the trouble that we are bringing to the Iraqi people after all the troubles that we've already caused them and the suffering that they have already, and that's very painful in my soul. But I'm also looking at their leader, who seems to be in control and dominating them, Saddam. Who will put innocent civilians and use them as shields to protect their weapons against America's our military forces attack upon them, so that when the attack come upon their military installations, Bush will be blamed for killing innocent civilians. So a person that will do that, in my opinion, is the person that we should want to get rid of. No way I would take innocent people and put them in front of my house so that when shots are fired at me, they hit those innocent people and blame the police for shooting innocent people. That's not in my soul to do anything like that. So I'm not just looking at what is happening, the misery that we are increasing for the Iraqi people. I'm looking also at the cancer that the expedition is intended to extract from the Iraqi people, and that cancer is Saddam. I have many thoughts about it. Some thoughts I can't share with you right now at this time and in this situation. I have many thoughts about it. I believe in Scripture, and if you are aware of Scripture and you study Scripture, you can see something that's going on in the world today, and it's ugly. Satan is behind a lot of things that's going on in the world today, and Satan is no mystery. Satan is real. Satan is real. And Satan is behind a lot of what is going on in the world today. And Jews are the victims of Shaitan. Christians are the victims of Shaitan. Muslims are the victims of Shaitan. All humanity, we are the victims of Shaitan. In Quran, God does not repeat his name, Shaitan, Shaitan, Shaitan. God says he is the enemy of humanity. Adu'unnas. He is the enemy of humanity, the Satan. And I do believe that Satan is a conspirator. And he has conspired to put the world into his hands. And he has influenced our divisions. He has instigated these troubles that we have. He is the main one responsible for all these troubles we have. A learned mind scholar in Islam, Dr. Ibrahim Izzeddin, really of the Emirates. He was of the Emirates, but he was born in Egypt. But he served the Emirates. And he was interviewed by a little magazine called The Little City recently. And he gave this answer. He said, had politics not instigated trouble for the religious communities, said there would be no problem for Muslims, Christians, and Jews today. I firmly believe that. Politics influenced by the Satan, the real Satan. Satan is no superstition. Satan is no myth. Satan is real. I wish I could say more to you, but I can't. Thank you. My hearing is not the best. Raise the voice a little bit for me. Yes. Well, I began with that awareness. I didn't want to mention it, but when I started, that was the thought on my mind when I uttered my first words here today. And really, Muslim scholars should really study what God says. When he says, for each is a goal, for which you are being turned. So turn your faces all toward this sacred place, and wherever you're scattered on earth, God will bring you all together. So God promises us that we will never have to worry about our togetherness, our unity. If we keep focused on the human excellence that he wants in all of us, that's the answer, sister. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. No, it's easy. Help me understand what ship? What is that? Justice. I hear you. Okay, I got it now. Yes. Justice. God says in our holy book that he created this world, this big material universe, to promote justice. To promote justice. So we believe that natural phenomenon, that the nature, the material dynamics, it is promoting justice. And the more man engage the material world, bring out his sciences, utilize the benefits of God's creation for his own society, the more justice is going to be in demand. More justice is going to be in demand. We study history, we see justice is more in demand now than ever before, because man has progressed with the material world. He's made great progress using the material world, the material things that God made. Now, there is no peace until there is justice. No peace until there is justice. We believe that God gave us a picture of this great universe, and he says that this beginning was not in quiet, but in noise, confusion, explosions, in chaos. And this is one of the names for the universe, chaos. The universe was in violent commotion. One translator of Quran translates it in violent commotion. And a smoke, a disturbed smoke, another description. God caused order to come into that chaos. When order came into chaos and everything received its attention, and bodies were given their freedom to have their orbits and to have their place in the beautiful picture of the universe, everything got its respect. It was given its freedom to be in the whole picture and to have its existence and its functions in the whole picture. Then we have order. Then the heavens are at peace. God gives us that to show us what must happen on this earth. When we can respect our nations, our sister nations, as we respect ourselves, when we can give them the same freedom to have their own orbits, not impose our ideology on them, etc. But as long as they support the order and the peace for all mankind, we should tolerate their differences, even their differences in ideology. That's what I believe. That's what I believe justice is. Justice is having that kind of thought, that kind of mind, and accepting that everything God created for dignity can have its dignity and live its life. I would not want to see the United States pose this ideology on others. But help me out here about Saudi Arabia. Yes. Yeah, not that I agree with Saudi Arabia, but I believe if Saudi Arabia wants mosques in other countries, then it should accept that churches be in Saudi Arabia. And if Saudi Arabia doesn't want any churches in Saudi Arabia, then Saudi Arabia shouldn't want any mosques in Christian countries. If we're going to have mosques, messages, and masajid in Christian countries, then all those nations should at least be on the paper for accepting that that those people can have their church or synagogue also in our land. It's not consistent with the logic or with goodness to say that we want our places of worship in your land, but you can't have one in our land. That's not good. But if Saudi Arabia sees itself as the Vatican, as the sanctuary for Muslims, and it doesn't want any religion preached over there, then it should establish for the world that we see this as a sanctuary. This is not just another Muslim country or another Muslim city. This is a sanctuary. This is a Muslim sanctuary. And we don't want other religions preached here. Maybe we can accept that. But it must establish that it's a sanctuary. That means Saudi Arabia has to clean up a lot if we're going to see it as a sanctuary. Because it's not quite a sanctuary. Not in my opinion. Yes. In Islam, along with diversity, we are entitled to differences of opinion. This is the teachings of Prophet. And the scholars of Islam, most of them know this, and they respect differences of opinion. But the preachers of Islam, most of the preachers of Islam, they preach like a lot of the holier-than-thou preachers in Christianity. And they do not invite the open-mindedness that we need in our public. They don't encourage that. They don't encourage acknowledgement and before the public of this belief that we should respect differences of opinion. I believe that this kind of teaching has influenced the way we look at others. And we look at America and we say they don't think like we do. They don't believe like we do. So their thinking is bad. Their behavior is bad. It's all bad. It can't be good because they don't think like we do. We should look for good. This same man that I mentioned earlier, Ibrahim Izzedine, he was not satisfied with me when I became the leader. He thought someone else was going to become the leader of the Nation of Islam, my father's following. So when he came to me, he said, I know your father, I met your father. He said, well, we didn't expect you would become the leader. He said, if we can't get an educated leader, we'll accept a good leader. So he had his opinion of me, and the Muslim world has been, I would say, given a picture of the West, especially America, as Khomeini said, the big Satan. And I think Khomeini was a great man. I think he did a lot of good for his country and for Muslims of the world, Khomeini. I love him, love Khomeini. I pray for his soul in paradise, that he's in paradise, Khomeini. Although I know we didn't like him, but I know what he was fighting, and I thank God for him. Yes, he called this country the big Satan. Well, when you look at it, you see a big Satan. Because after all, Satan is not all bad. Satan know he can't be all bad. He know he'll be identified if he's all bad. Satan is bad and good, and extreme. He's extremely bad and extremely good, you know? So when you look at our society, it's extremely bad and extremely good. So I can't blame them for saying, this is the big Satan, you know? This is the big Satan. But we can't blame the intent. Matters in Islam is judged by intent. This is what our Prophet taught us, peace be upon him. Matters are judged by intent. What is the intent of the American people? The intent of the American people is to support human life and to advance the good human life. That's the intent. Yes, the intent of the American people, not all of them, but the intent of those people who are sincere in their religion, sincere in the church, that is their intent. The intent of the founding fathers was just that. And there are many American citizens who cherish that intent. They will live by it, they will die by it, they will stay here, and they'll pass on respect for it and support for it to their children. It will be supported by the generations to come for as long as God chooses to have us exist on this earth as a country, the United States. So this is what I believe. But when I look at drugs and alcoholism, prostitution, gambling, I see what they have in their idea too. Church people. I don't know if they're aware of it, but it's in their idea that Satan is in charge. That Satan has been put in man's hand, and you can lock Satan up and free him whenever you like. That the key to lock him up and to free him is given to man, and they lock him up sometime and they free him most of the time.
Take one last question. Can you stand up, please?
Alaykum as-salam. I think I understand. Yes. God. God created us with a heart and a human and a mind, human head, a head on our body. And when you look at the human body and the head in proportion to the rest of the body, the head is a small quantity, mass, in comparison with the whole body. That is to say that we're never going to have the great numbers qualified or even inspired to lead and protect our interests. We have to identify those of like minds, who are ready to support and advance our cause, and they have to come together and represent the head for the body. It'll never be the many, it will always be the few. So my advice to the sisters is get with sisters that are of like mind, come together with sisters that are of like mind. Don't be separated from one another, don't be out of touch with one another. And together you have strength, you have increased knowledge and vision, and you'll be able to do marvelous things for your community of Islam in America. That's my advice. And I'm with you.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.